Okay, guys. Welcome to Truth Hurts Radio. I guess you caught me red-handed. I was just calling to confirm my guest. It is all set. I didn't even need to call. I didn't think I did, but just in case, because I did a lot of advertisement for it yesterday, and I wanted to make sure that he wasn't going to be forgetting, because as my regular listeners know, my guests have had a habit in the past of doing that to me. But it's all set, guys. We're going to get Neil Adams. He's going to be on in just a couple minutes. So stick with us. And right after the break, I'll be bringing him up. Basically, I guess you could call this part two, really, of the discussion on Tuesday. We talked about the expanding Earth. And this guy is pretty much going to pick up where the other one left off, adding more details. We're going to be talking about more than just the Earth, as it turns out. It's not just the Earth that shows signs of having expanded in the past. Some would argue it's still doing it, but certainly in the past, I believe it happened on a much more rapid pace, on a rapid scale, on a much grander scale, I should say, during the time of a catastrophe. But in any case, I don't know that we're going to be delving into catastrophism necessarily. I think that today's guest believes that it happened gradually over time. I would argue that the bulk of the expansion took place in a short time during catastrophic upheavals. But nevertheless, we're going to be talking about other bodies in the solar system as well as the Earth that show signs of expansion. So stick with us. Should be very interesting. I like offering alternative views on a lot of different subjects, not just politics. So as time goes on, I'll be having guests like this and going off onto my own tangents as well. I've done a lot of research in a whole lot of areas. You know, once you find out that your religious leaders, your political leaders, your academic leaders, the media are all a bunch of fraudulent scam artists, liars, it forces you to start to rethink everything. And so that's what I've done over the years. I got a lot of interests in a lot of different fields anyway. So, yeah, you just start looking under the rug, looking at those lumps, and then you start realizing that there's a whole lot of things that we've cherished as unquestionable beliefs that turned out not to be that at all. Anyway, but before we go to the break, let me just go over real quick a few announcements. Once again, guys, yeah, we get the live text chat on the Republic Broadcasting website. Just go to republicbroadcasting.org, and you can take part in the live chat. You can talk to other listeners as well as guests, as well as hosts. Myself not included yet. I still haven't signed up on there. I got to get around to that. But eventually I'll be on there, and you can type chat with me as well as calling up on the phone. The Aaron Russo DVD, guys, again, available for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. Christmas is coming up, so grab them while they're hot, while they're still available, and they might make great stocking stuffers. And you can get that by calling 800-724-2719 or by going to republicbroadcasting.org, ordering there through PayPal, or by sending a check or money order to RBN Office, 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you want to get in on the Republic Trading Group, trading in gold, silver, in precious metals, you can go to the new website, republictradinggroup.net, or by dialing 800-691-7898. If anybody wants to read any of my books, among them Piercing the Fog of 9/11, The New World Disorder, and there's more to come. I posted three new ones just in the past couple weeks or so. Just go to lulu.com, that's L-U-L-U.com. Just type in my name, Charles Giuliani, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I, and you'll see all the books that I currently have available. And, again, if anybody wants to send me any feedback or any suggestions for future shows, guests, topics, you name it, just write me at truthhurtsradio@aol.com, Hurts being spelled H-E-R-T-Z. And, by the way, if you ever want transcripts of any of the shows that I do, at least when I go off on my own tangents, like yesterday and tomorrow I'll be doing that, picking up where I left off yesterday, talking about whatever. Just write me, and I'll send you the transcripts as an attachment file. All right, guys, stick with us. We'll be right back.
Another day. Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio, where we're laying it on the line. Today we're joined by our guest, we now have him on the line, Mr. Neil Adams, one of the top preeminent theorists on the expanding Earth, or as he likes to call it, the growing Earth. Just go to neiladams.com, that's N-E-A-L, adams.com, and you can there check out his excellent animations that he's done to show not only how the Earth has expanded, but a whole lot of other bodies in the solar system. It's fascinating. It doesn't even require any reading. You just look at these films and you're sold on it. There's just no other explaining some of the bizarre features we see on the surfaces of various bodies in the solar system. So here to talk about that is Mr. Adams. Welcome.
How are you? Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, great to have you on.
Well, actually, I'm known as a comic book artist. I don't want anybody to think that I'm a graduate professor in geology or physics or anything. I'm stepping into an area that I'm not supposed to know anything about, but since I love science so much, I've done a study for the last 35 years, and this is the conclusion of that study. Been kind of quiet up to that point, but now I'm letting people know what I've discovered or found out or learned.
Yeah, before we go into that, we'll talk about your comic book work there. I was surprised when I was looking over your website, and I clicked a few links, and the next thing I know, I see all these comic books that can be ordered. I'm like, wow, I just figured you'd worked at some university or something. But so what do you actually work for DC or?
Yeah, no, I'm one of those guys.
No kidding.
Yes. Ask your friends. Has anybody out there in the radio audience ever heard of Neil Adams drawing comic books? I think you'll have a few people letting you know.
No kidding. Wow. That's so you do the one like Spider-Man and...
Well, mostly Batman. I mean, there have been collections of my Batman stuff and X-Men, and I've done a lot of stuff.
Wow. So how long have you done that for?
Oh, ages. Since the early 70s.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So you must have quite a collection of your own then.
No, I don't collect them. Collectors collect them. I just I sit and sign them. Sign them at conventions when people bring them up and have their collections in front of me. And that's my job. My job is not to collect comic books. My job is to draw comic books and to write comic books.
No kidding. Oh, so you do the writing too?
Yes, indeed. Not all of it. I work with other writers, but yes, a little bit here and there.
That's interesting. Wow, we could do a whole show on that. But anyway, the reason we have you here today, of course, is to talk about the expanding Earth. Now, as you probably know, I already had... What's that?
I wouldn't call it... I would just hold you there and say...
Growing Earth, right.
Growing Earth, growing universe would be a better description of it and probably a better logo.
Yeah, I had...
Because balloons expand, you know?
What's that?
Balloons expand.
Right.
You know, your kid grows. You grow. So what we're talking about is growing.
Yeah, I had, what is his name, Keith? Is it Keith Wilson?
Yeah, Keith Wilson.
Yeah, I had him on Tuesday. In fact, he's the one that helped me get in touch with you.
Right.
So I figured your discussion today would kind of be an outgrowth of that.
Well, I don't know. I didn't listen to that discussion.
And you did?
No, I didn't. And the thing to remember is that when this whole thing started, it started about, 40 years ago. Well, actually, longer ago than that, with a guy named Samuel Warren Carey. Professor Samuel Warren Carey was a geologist in Tasmania, from Tasmania, and then Australia. And he realized when everybody else was saying, finally, after about 100 years, it sure seemed like South America and Africa fit together. Is it possible that they once were together? Now, that seemed like an incredible concept, and truly was an incredible concept, to think that these two landmasses fit together and that they were together. And this guy named Wegener created the theory and presented the theory that, in fact, that was the case. And it took a long time for geologists to say, hey, you know, maybe this is possible, and maybe there's a theory here, and maybe we can explain it. So that became, in the 60s, the investigation of what they call the Pangaea theory. And the Pangaea theory says that all the continents were all together in the Atlantic Ocean. They all fit together, and they all made one big giant island in the Atlantic Ocean. And then presumably the rest of the world was ocean, about 3 or 4 miles deep, completely ocean. Now, as a science fan and somebody who is interested in everything that came out at the time, I looked at that thing and I said, wow, that's, you know, that matches what I thought when I was a kid. You know, it looked like the Africa and South America fit together. Wow, wait a second, hold on. You're saying that all the continents got together in the Atlantic, they all shoved together, and they made this one big giant island, and the rest of the world, two-thirds to three-quarters of the world, was ocean 3 to 4 miles deep. Now, as a fantasy person, I'm thinking of myself jinking along in this little spaceship, kind of coming to this solar system and looking at the planets in the solar system, and I come to this one blue ball, and it's got this one big giant island on one side, and all the rest is ocean 3 or 4 miles deep. And I go, okay, this goes in the museum because this has got to be the most incredible planet I have ever seen in my life. All the land is on one side, and all the rest is ocean. That doesn't make any sense. And then I realized, of course it doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's preposterous. One thing to say that somehow the land moved apart. The upper tectonic plate, the top 3 or 4 or 5 miles kind of cracked and moved apart. But to say it was all gathered on one side, it's silly. it's preposterous. So thinking this, I'm, you know, bumping along, drawing my comics, whatever, and suddenly I heard some guy, apparently turned out to be Samuel Warren Carey, said, wait a second, we're not taking the theory far enough. You have to understand, if you look at the Earth, that all the continents fit together all around the Earth. It's not just the Atlantic, it's the Pacific, it's everywhere.
Sure.
And then, of course, your logical question would be, but how is that possible? You can't, I mean, they're all spread out. And he said, it's only way it's possible is if the Earth were smaller. If the Earth were smaller, and you just could push that thing together, all those continents would fit together on one planet about the size of Mars. Then everybody said, no, that's like, oh, that's too much. That's like taking this too far. You're crazy. You're out of your mind. But Sam Carey said, no, no, it makes way more sense than what you're saying. You're saying that all the continents gather together in a big giant island. What was it, a convention of chunks? I mean, it didn't make any sense.
Well, here's my problems with it, and I'm sure you'd agree. I mean, first of all, you got to come up with a mechanism. What could move them that far, you know, thousands of miles? But also, in the process of moving thousands of miles across the ocean floor, that would most definitely have so completely obliterated the original shapes of the contours of, you know, the coastlines, they wouldn't even have been able to determine that they were once connected.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing about it that's so interesting. And that's what the field of tectonics is all about, to a certain extent. I mean, you can't say completely. It's a new field of study. And what they say is, okay, this is what happens. The Earth somehow cooks up this stuff and cracks in the middle of the oceans, okay? And there's these big, giant cracks. And what happens is the land just simply cracks apart, and new material comes up in the through these cracks in the middle of the ocean and spreads the land apart. And that's how, because what happened was, back in those days, they discovered that there's a ship called the Long Lines. The Long Line ship was for the telephone communications around the world, and what they would do is lay cable across the ocean. And they would discover, as they lay the cable across the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific, that the lines would somehow burn through, and they'd have to bring them up, and they'd have to repair them all the time. Well, the reason that was happening was because they were laying the lines across a volcanic rift in the middle of the ocean. And that volcanic rift was spreading material upward and outward and spreading the ocean slowly away from the one side from the other. So they said, this is what must be happening, is that the Earth is not growing, but is spreading these rifts. And, of course, then there was Sam Carey saying, yeah, that's sort of, I agree with you, but if that's what's happening, where is the stuff going that's being pushed aside? You got this stuff that's being pushed aside. It's got to go somewhere. Otherwise, the Earth is growing. Now, that's exactly, I mean, that's all of this stuff is true. The continents that crack and break apart keep their form. Sometimes they have to bend a little bit on the edges because one piece is pulling one way and one piece is pulling the other way. But essentially, they keep their form. And these cracks, remember that, you know, when you, there's movies where you can see this, or if you look on Discovery, at the edge of the continental plate, if you were to go out into the ocean, you know, where you go to the beach and you kind of go to the beach and you kind of slants down into the ocean? Well, if you were to go out a few miles, what happens is that edge of that land goes straight down for two or three miles. That's the edge of the continental plate, and it broke off from the other side. And if you go to the other side, you'll find exactly that same edge on the other side of the Atlantic and the Pacific and all the other oceans. Those are essentially slab edges, just as if you broke a rock. You could pull those rocks together, and they will fit. Okay?
And isn't it true that the continental masses actually are sunken into the ocean floor?
So not only sunken into the ocean floor, but they are about 20 to – continental plates are about 20 to 30 miles thick. 20 to 30 miles thick going into the Earth. The oceanic plate is only between 2 and 4 miles thick. So it's an actually rather shallow plate compared to the continent. So you could almost say it's like, let's say you could say it's like an iceberg sitting in the water, and the top layer of the water in between the iceberg is frozen. But the iceberg goes much, much deeper than the top frozen part. That would be a good analogy to what the continental plates are.
Sure. But the whole point is, if the continental land masses are sunken into the oceanic floor, then how could they be drifting in the first place?
How could they be drifting in the first place? They can't be drifting. Because you'd have to talk to Neil Adams. And if you were to talk to Neil Adams, Neil would say, or Sam Carey, we would say, they're not drifting.
Tell you what.
All that's happening is the cracks are opening.
Right. Hold that thought. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back, folks.
Sure.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Hey guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We're joined by Neil Adams talking about the growing Earth. Again, I hate to say theory because it's it's pretty obvious that's exactly what's happening. It's not even a theory. What they're telling us is certainly a theory, drifting continents. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, they denied it for the longest time that the continents were connected. Now they finally admit they were connected, but the mechanism for them separating is just as it's something like right out of the Dark Ages, isn't it? It's just so childlike in its
simplicity.
Yeah.
And ridiculous. The thing is that was sad in a weird kind of way is that you have Sam Carey, who was able in the 60s to describe are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Could describe through geology exactly what had happened. Exactly why the dinosaurs were five times bigger than animals that we have today, exactly why the atmosphere was thin, exactly why we had no ice caps, exactly why we had no mountains in the ages of the dinosaurs, something that people don't quite know. He was able to describe all the geology and why it worked, and the thing that scared everybody was that he had no mechanism. Why did he have no mechanism? Because Sam Carey, brilliant though he was a geologist and not a physicist. To have a mechanism to describe how the Earth could possibly grow, geology just wouldn't do. And so since he didn't have that mechanism, then they didn't pay that much attention. They paid a lot of attention to him at the time, but they were looking for an out. And you know how, you know, people say, well, there's no conspiracy. Things don't happen that way. But the truth is that people are people. You know, if somebody presents something to you and it goes against what you say and you can find a way to avoid it, then you go ahead and avoid it if you can. That's a human thing to do, and I understand that perfectly. Well, it turns out that these two guys, Wadadi and Benioff, were on a boat that was checking through radar and through sonar and through these various methods, seismically, what is going on underneath the ocean on the oceanic crust. And they discovered in the western Pacific off of Samoa a descending tectonic oceanic plate that looked like it was diving into the earth or diving into the ocean bottom. And then what happened was from that, and it's a very good theory and a very good rationale, they decided sensibly that oceanic plates in certain areas of the world were diving back into the magma and into what's called the asthenosphere of the earth and essentially eating up the ocean floor. Or to put it slightly differently, the dog ate the homework, Daddy. The reason we can't explain where the ocean floor went is because the earth has been eating it. So they came up with this theory called subduction. Well, it's actually a very good theory, and there seem to be some indications of subduction. But the most important thing about subduction was it made Sam Carey go away. They could say, well, what happened was that the earth constantly recycles its material back into the earth, and it remelts and disappears. And that's why we don't have ancient oceans. We don't have ancient oceans anywhere in the world, and that's the reason. They subducted back into the earth, which is, you kind of go, wow, is that true? That's kind of an interesting theory, and you have some proof of this. Is that what's going on? Is that all the ocean bottoms of the earth are being eaten by the earth? So you don't have to prove your theory. And so
yeah, it's just a convenient way to sweep things under the rug that they can't explain
otherwise.
It
was great for geology. In effect, sweep things under the rug is the most incredibly true analogy you could ever imagine. They swept all the evidence under the evidence. It disappeared.
Right.
So, for example, if you say to somebody, well, where do they look for ancient fish fossils? Do they look for them in the deep ocean? No. There was no deep ocean past 160 to 180 million years ago. None. You look for ancient fish fossils in Utah and in China and in various places around the world. You don't have paleontologists looking for ancient fish fossils under the deep ocean because there's none there. They're only
you don't have sediment built up on the ocean floor at all.
Very little sediment on the ocean floor. So you can go down there and dig as easily as you want, but there's nothing to find.
Right. I guess it's just sedimentary rocks.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have an answer for that. Sedimentary rocks are only found on the continents.
That's right. And that's where you find ancient fish fossils. The giant fish that you see in the museum, you find them in Utah. You find them in China. You find them in Italy, but you don't find them in the deep ocean. Why? Because there was no deep ocean 120 million years ago. Did not exist. So where was the water? Well, the water was on the continental plates. When you put all those continental plates together, which of course you have to do if you go backward in time, they all fit together, the water that was there, which is about a quarter of the water that we have now, okay, was on the continental plates in what are called the shallow seas. The whole middle of America was covered with a shallow sea, up and past the Rocky Mountains. There were no Rocky Mountains. The Rocky Mountains was flat land, and the shallow seas covered much of that land. So that if you were there, you'd look at it and you'd say, well, it looks like the Earth today, except the water is in a different place, and there are no deep oceans. There are no
Important point, too, the fact that not only the Rockies, but pretty much all the other great mountain ranges around the planet are very fresh and young. They have very jagged tops.
In fact, all of them. That's the most interesting part of it is that 80% of the mountains on Earth grew in the last 50 million years. That's after dinosaurs.
Another short break, folks. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car. And a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you. Because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody. Because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Okay, we're back on Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charles Giuliani. We've got Neil Adams on talking about the Earth growing. Yeah, clearly the features around the Earth, no matter where we look, they're much younger than what we've been told. And the cause of this, of course, is the expanding Earth. We've got the ocean floors that have almost no sediments. It's only on the continental land masses that we find this, because that's what's older. That was exposed long ago. The ocean floor at that time wasn't. The Earth was smaller. It has since expanded. The ocean floor has recently become exposed. That's why it's so young. It's obvious. I mean,
The big problem that we have is that geologists and physicists and others will say, well, this theory doesn't have any evidence. But if you do examine the evidence, you'll see that all the evidence supports this theory. None of the evidence supports the standard theory, unless you have a room full of geologists screaming and yelling and telling you that you don't know what you're talking about. Then they're right, and you happen to be wrong. Well, the problem is that if you sit down quietly and go over the evidence, all the evidence shows this. The continental plates, those areas that are the continents, are between 1 and 4 billion years old. The oceanic plates are no older. There's not one square yard of deep ocean that's older than 180 million years old, and very, very little of that. And that's right in the middle of the Western Pacific. So just from the get-go, there's no fish fossils in the deep ocean. There's no mountains that existed before 50 million years ago. There's material that became mountains, but mountains are like a new item on the a menu of the Earth. Therefore, there were no real rivers. There was runoff from flash floods, but there weren't really rivers, because the way you have rivers is you have mountains, and on top of those mountains you have ice and snow, and that stuff melts over a period of time and makes your creeks and rivers and streams. And so you have all that stuff. There wasn't that in the ages of the dinosaurs. The dinosaurs were gigantic compared to our modern animals. The air was thinner, and there was more oxygen in it because more hydrogen was blowing off into space because our gravity was less. The day was shorter. It was about 20 hours long. Every bit of evidence that you look at supports this theory in every area, biological, anthropological, everything. And yet, because of this, I don't know, unreasoning fear of Sam Carey's theory and throwing in subduction. And, you know, there's a certain part of me that kind of, since I've studied the whole thing, I see the evolutionary process of that thinking where you go, where you have a bunch of guys go, oh, gee, this theory that Sam Carey, but what's the mechanism? And he has no mechanism. Well, you know, oh, look it, we have subduction. Maybe subduction does it. Maybe the
whole... what's their mechanism?
Yeah, it's subduction. And of course, I get subduction thrown at me all the time. The problem with subduction is this. Geology says, and science says, that as you go deeper into the Earth, material becomes denser. Because, you know, the Earth is 5.9 times the density of water, the whole Earth, on average.
Right.
Basalt that makes up the base of the Earth is 3.3 times the density of water. Okay? So you have 3.3 times the density of water. Granitic rock is only 2.5, but so you got 3.3 compared to the whole Earth, which is 5.9. So as you go deeper into the Earth, geology says, material gets denser, okay? And you kind of go, well, that makes sense. If you have these subducting plates in the bottom of the ocean and they dive down at, say, a 45-degree angle or whatever angle, as they go down, even if you assume that there's some really hot rock under there and something can force them down a little ways, as it gets denser, it becomes more solid, because we know that it becomes more solid. How can it keep on going? It's like driving, you know, it's like you take a shovel and you drive it into the earth, you know? You drive it into the earth, and it goes a certain distance, but the earth is really, you know, often very cold, but it gets very dense, and you can shove it in a certain distance, but without wiggling it and doing something with it, you can't push that shovel in. And you also have to be able to drive earth up while you push that shovel in, because something has to displace that shovel.
Right.
So the mechanics of subduction allow a certain amount of, like, tipping of plates and kind of pushing down, but they can't go deep into the earth. So you cannot have a subduction that accounts for whole oceans. For, you know, two-thirds or more of the Earth is oceanic plate. Where did all that stuff go? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Science, the history of science in the world has gone wrong in certain areas. And as those things go wrong, you kind of go, well, but we keep on believing in that. So you keep on believing in it.
They build everything else on it.
Right.
The cracked foundation.
It becomes this house of cards. And as soon as you take out the bottom card, everything falls down. 150 years ago, scientists believed that essentially the solar system collected from a pile of space junk, okay? And that's how you made our solar system. That's how you made the sun and all the planets.
Yeah.
And that was very good for 150 years ago, but it's 150 years ago. These guys knew nothing. They just said, okay, now we know that the Earth goes around the sun and this stuff happens and there's meteorites and stuff. So here's a theory. All this junk collected in one area, and it all started to spin, and out of it we get a solar system. And we have believed this silly theory for 150 years. Okay.
Well, you know, it's the same thing with fossils, not to get off on that tangent, but the geologic column has a lot of problems with it, as I'm sure you know. And it's based on something that was developed long before they had even investigated the fossil record in half the world's continents.
I know. Well,
they're still clinging to it.
Let me continue this for just a minute.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, essentially, let's just say that theory were correct. Okay, which I'm not saying. I mean, it's just silly, but it doesn't matter. 4.5 billion years ago, the Earth was this giant molten ball of stuff, and meteorites and stuff were hitting it, you know, and it was molten, they say, for a half billion years, and then it cooled off and became the Earth. So let's say you have this molten ball, and the molten ball is what you call differentiating. That's sort of like if you have, or you put ore in a cauldron and you heat it up and you melt it, then what happens is the heavy stuff goes to the bottom and the lighter stuff goes to the top. And if you got a cauldron, that stuff is called slag at the top, and you just chip it off. You get rid of it because it's the very light stuff, and the iron goes to the bottom, right? So if that happened to Earth, then all the iron went to the center of the Earth, and all the light stuff, including the granitic rock that we think is heavy but is really quite light, stayed at the top. So let's say we had a coating of, say, 2 to 3 miles of granitic rock around this big giant Earth, and then underneath that we had basalts, and then we had heavier and heavier stuff till we have iron in the middle. And that's sort of how geology describes it to us. Okay? So you have this granitic rock that covers the Earth. So then rain happens and these other things happen. Well, the problem with that is that our Earth today has only one-third of its surface covered with granitic rock. The other two-thirds are gone. Poof. Mm-hmm. Magic. Somehow they went somewhere. It's a preposterous concept. Mm-hmm. It's a preposterous concept. What happened? And of course, then if all the time, any argument or any question that you have finally goes back to what's the mechanism? How did it happen? You have to be able to explain that. Well, over the last 35 years, besides drawing comic books and all the rest of it, I investigated the process, how it could happen. That's my contribution. My little contribution is I figured out the mechanism.
Before we get into that, and that's really the crux of the matter, and then I want to talk about some other bodies in the solar system, too, that show signs of expansion. But just to recap, in case anybody isn't following us, what we're saying is the Earth expanded. The Earth originally was...
All planets.
Well, yeah, right.
Not expanded, but of course grew by making new matter.
Right, right.
But all moons, all suns.
In reference to the Earth for now, let's just recap. The Earth at one time, or in fact still is, but it's been changed... the Earth was made up of two layers, if you will. Its crust. The lower layer, which today we know is the oceanic crust, the oceanic floor. And then, of course, the top layer of crust is the continental land masses. If you shrunk the Earth down to about, what would you say, one-third
about
its current
size? About one quarter. About a quarter.
Yeah, roughly. Anyway, if you shrunk it down, all the continental land masses would fit back together like pieces of a puzzle perfectly. Far better than they would if you just moved them across the ocean floors and stuck them together like puzzle pieces like they claim today. So you would have this outer crust made of this lighter, more fragile rock, granitic rock.
Right.
When the Earth expanded from underneath, the heavier, denser
basalt,
more easily stretched and thinned out as the Earth expanded.
Well,
the granite being more fragile, cracked and spread apart as it's expanded from underneath.
Well, that is not to say that there isn't granitic rock that was part of the continents that spread apart, but essentially the older material. There are guys in our group who say that, in fact, they don't really believe that granitic rock was produced until about 200, 300 million years ago. Because as you get bigger, the gravity becomes greater. So the pressure becomes greater. So what happens is that you have more iron pushed into your rock as part of your rock, and your rock becomes denser, and that's how you get basalts. I'm not a geologist, as you know. I don't know if that's true, but we have a couple of guys who say, I don't even think there was granitic rock. For all we know, there wasn't. I don't know about that. But that's one of those theoretical, point by point, doing the math kind of thing that I try not to get into. I just look at the overall general thing. Yes, the lower oceanic plate is essentially different kinds of basalt. Which is about
thicker, denser.
Yeah, it's 3.0 to 3.3 times the weight of water, whereas the granitic rock is 2.5.
And by the way, I mentioned this the other day too. All you got to do is look at maps. The USGS, for example, has maps of the ocean floor, and you can see what you could call stretch marks.
You can see the ocean floor. You can look at that on the ocean floor. It's incredible. If the more you examine it, the more you see it. And I can tell you this, if all my videos do, if I don't get the revolution happening very quickly, if I get people to look at these maps and to try to understand the globe that they're on and how it works and how it operates, it will become in time as clear as day. I mean, I looked
at... Did you put a comic book together on this?
Yes, in fact, I have a graphic novel that I haven't released yet called A Conversation Between Two Guys in a Bar or A New Model of the Universe. It'll probably be shortened to OR when it's out. I also have a series of... I had a two-hour video that I've broken down into pieces, and it's also on my site for people who get past the first 10 videos that I have on my site. But it basically is explaining everything. There's papers there. You know, when you get through that stuff, you pretty much get it. And then you have to decide, you know, what your thinking is going to take you to. Are you going to examine the history of science in the last 150 years to see how it went wrong, to see how it got off the tracks? I just think that we need to examine science. There's two major problems with science, in my opinion. The first is that we went off the track about 150 years ago. The second is specialization has driven us to a lack of communication in science that is really incredible. I can't even talk to the smartest physicist without at some point in the conversation he'll say, well, geology isn't my thing. I'll have to go talk to a friend of mine who's a geologist. And you sit there kind of bewildered and say, don't you like science? I mean, the fact that you study physics means that you don't study all the rest of science, and that seems to be the case. There's specialization has driven scientists away from the big picture. So all they study is the little picture.
Yep.
And how do you discover how our universe works by studying all these little pictures? You can't. I don't see how it's possible.
We need more Renaissance men.
Yeah, I think so. But I think science should be taught in Renaissance terms. And there's the things that get in the way are language, for example. They all have different language. If I sit down and have a conversation with a physicist or a geologist, and if I'm able to set the terms of the conversation, the first thing I say is, look, you can't use any technical terms. Just find a replacement term and give it to me, one that regular folks understand. You know, we understand certain things, and I understand some terms, but I'm not going to – you can't talk to me this technical stuff. If you listen to a geologist –
Well, I think complicated mathematical formulas has really done an injustice to it.
Right. In mathematical formulas, you might as well shoot yourself in the head.
No, that doesn't have its place, but I mean, that's not the all that ends all.
Well, I think that Hawking said it pretty good. He said, if you have mathematical formulas in your book, you might as well assume nobody's going to read them. And if you have two, okay, nobody will read it. If you have one, half the people won't read it.
Yeah.
That's not how you describe science. I think it was also Dirac. Somebody may catch me, it's the wrong quote, but I think it was Dirac who said, without advanced mathematics, science will be held back by about a week.
I really think
that's true.
Well,
I mean,
there's a whole lot of scientists out there using math, but their initial premises is way off the mark. So it doesn't matter if their math backs up what they're saying or not.
Well, that's the problem with an awful lot of science, and that is that if your premise is wrong, then you're going to create all this math that's going to prove your premise. Let me give you a simple example. Let's just say the universe is filled with this pre-matter, and this is what it goes into my theory, but it's also a good example. Let's say say the universe is filled with pre-matter, and let's say you can't identify it. Only recently we've started to identify it, and we've called it dark matter and dark energy. So partially my theory is being proved, so that's very good for me. If it's there, okay, then everything that people have said you have to reassess. For example, light is traveling through a vacuum. Well, gee, no, if so much is dark matter and dark energy, how can you say it's traveling through a vacuum? Well, that goes back to ether. Before we had this assumption that space was filled with nothing, we had this assumption that space was filled with ether, what they called ether.
Right.
Even Einstein believed it. And then Michelson and Morley had this experiment that proved that light travels at the same speed no matter where you measured it from, whether you're headed for the sun or away from the sun or whatever. Well, if in fact, prime matter, or what I call prime matter, but pre-matter exists, and if, in fact, it's electromagnetic in nature, even if it's only mildly, then you can say that our local area of pre-matter or prime matter that surrounds the Earth travels with the Earth. So anytime you measure any light going in any direction, it's sort of like measuring light in a ball of water. It goes with the water, okay? So this light will move with the water, so it'll only be 186,000 miles a second, no matter where on Earth you measure it. What that means is that you can take Michelson-Morley's experiment and throw it out the window. But that's the experiment that proved that there was no ether and caused Einstein to talk about the speed of light being a constant and time and space not. So you can suddenly, if you can show that, suddenly a vast amount of science gets just chucked away. And then you have to say, do you really think about this heavily at the beginning? Or did you just allow yourself to be dragged?
Okay, another short break. Stick with us, folks. Be right back with Neil Adams.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Okay, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got Neil Adams on, talking about the growing Earth. So we've established, what's that?
Good, growing Earth. That's great.
Yeah.
Everybody says expanding Earth because I think it rolls trippingly off the tongue.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so I mean, we've established that mainstream science just doesn't cut it. It's not providing answers that even make sense, let alone provide a reasonably believable explanation.
Let me say this. I'm not a non-believer in science. I love science. I mean, I really defend, and I really believe very, very strongly in science. But it's like anything else. If you get an idea in your head and you grow with that idea, and the idea is wrong, the idea is like the Earth going around the Sun going around the Earth. For 1,500 years, we believed that the Sun went around the Earth. Humans believed it. And if you didn't believe it, let's just say you existed in those days and you didn't believe it and you went to one of these wise men and you said, well, I think that the Earth goes around the Sun. He would grab you by the scruff of the neck and he would take you up on a hillside and you guys would tent out and you would watch the progression of the sky going across the sky at night, and you would watch the moon come up, and then you would watch it go down, and you watch the sun, the stars come up and watch them go down, and you would watch the sun come up, and you would watch it go down, and you would count the hours, and you would realize it takes 24 hours for it to go around, same with the moon, same with the stars, and you would sit there, and at the end of a month, after all this counting and all the rest of it, you would agree that the sun goes around the earth. You would have nothing else to prove anything else. And people believed this for 1,500 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's nothing really wrong with that. If that's the evidence that you have and you're teaching it in classes and everybody is believing it and they're moving on and carrying on, as long as it doesn't, make you crazy. But
to burn at the stake anyone who doesn't agree with you.
That's right. That's true. Well, having been burned at the stake,
clear evidence.
My toes are burning pretty good, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
But what happens? What happens is that geologists don't talk to anthropologists. They don't talk to paleontologists. A paleontologist will go, well, how do you explain that a sauropod can weigh 40 or 50 tons? Or a Tyrannosaurus rex can weigh as much as an elephant, but it balances itself on two legs that are shaped like tiger legs and probably has a top speed of 70 miles an hour. If you built an elephant like that, he'd break his legs, the tendons would snap in one step, and the legs would snap in two steps. He wouldn't be able to survive. How is it possible that a Tyrannosaurus rex could survive, that a sauropod could survive? The prey of Tyrannosaurus rex, practically the size of T-Rex, could survive in herds of hundreds
and
maybe hundreds.
How did pterodactyls fly?
Yeah, they fly in gigantic creatures. So how is, dragonflies with 1 foot, 1.5 foot wingspreads. I mean,
some of them had 6 foot wingspans. They found one in Germany.
But how would that be possible? If we're in this air, they would snap with one flap. It's not possible. That's the thing about it that's so incredible. If you live back in the ages of the dinosaur, there wouldn't be enough air for you to breathe. It would be death. The thing is that those people don't talk to the geologists, and the geologists don't talk to the physicists. The physicists haven't been given the assignment. Give us a mechanism to show that the Earth grew, because nobody buys it, because nobody puts their heads together and says, gee, we certainly have an awful lot of evidence here. I mean,
yet each one is infallible in his own field, but they're all contradicting each other.
Right. How do we...
Anyway,
how
we
do
got
we
another short break.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, hold that thought. I'll be right back.
With recent internet.